But I want to use the what happened with Ben and Jerry's to discuss the concept of Baal Tashvis, because I have a pint of Ben and Jerry's sitting in my freezer that
you have a terrace in your house.
A terrace. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Right. So I got this big pint of Ben and Jerry sitting in the freezer. Right.
I already decided I'll eat that. I just won't buy another one.
Oh, so that
doesn't do any damage.
Exactly. Just leave it in the freezer. But you know what? People are sending me videos of people dumping all their Ben and Jerry's, dumping all the ice cream.
That's a waste.
Throwing it away.
If you do it in public, it's useful. If you do it in public, and other people see it.
So we have to discuss. This leads to the big question of Baal Tashvis.
Rabbi, if you need new ice cream brands, Blue Bunny is really good.
Okay, Häagen-Dazs was started by two Jews.
Häagen-Dazs
was started.
Ben and Jerry's was started by two Jews.
Ben and Jerry. No, but two Israel supporters. Häagen-Dazs, the owner of Häagen-Dazs, was one of the big Jewish philanthropists. She gave a lot of money to the city of Hebron.
Really?
For all the settlements of Hebron. Wow. Oh yeah, for sure. At her levaya, her daughter said that there were both of my mother's passions started with the letter I. Ice cream in Israel. Yeah.
Right.
Not so much Ben and Jerry's. Okay. So the question is whether or not, you know, people are throwing away all their Ben and Jerry's. Is this a problem, right? It seems wasteful, but on the other hand, you know, it's uncomfortable for some to eat the ice cream. So is this an issue of Baal Tashvis? So I think it'd be a good idea then to analyze the sugya and go through the topic of Baal Tashvis in order so that we can come to a decision on the matter. So the Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim, we're going to read it in just a couple of weeks. If anyone knows anyone who's Bar Mitzvah Parsha Shoftim, please let me know. We need a Baal Kari for Parsha Shoftim.
Josh Glasser.
Wow, did he lame the whole parsha? All right, whatever. Okay, you let me know. The Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim that this is with regards to when we are engaged in battle. Ki tatzur el ir yamim rabim, that when you are taking siege of a city for a number of days, lilachem aleha, you're battling against it, you're fighting against it. So loy tashchis es etza lindoach alav garzen. You are not allowed to cut down any of the trees, kimimenu tochal, because you're going to eat from them. So this is then obviously it's fruit trees, fruit bearing trees. You're not allowed to cut down any of the fruit bearing trees. Why? Because you're going to need to be sustained by them, right? Meaning that it's it would be irresponsible of you to cut those down. Even though you're in battle and you're in war, but you might need them because you might be stuck there. You're going to need it to survive. So from a survival perspective, the Torah is saying you're not allowed to cut down any of the trees. Tochol va'osolo tichros ki adam etza sadeh lavo mipanecha b'matzur, that even though there's going to be people battling in on the field, okay, fine. Continues in Pasuk Beis, Rach etz asher teida, that's a whole discussion in the Rishonim, how to read the end of that Pasuk. Rak eitz asher teida ki lo eitz ma'achalhu oso tashkes. The only trees that you would be allowed to cut down would be anything that you know for certain is not a fruit-bearing tree. So this is what it says in the Torah. This is the source of lo tashkes, as it says in the Torah, of not cutting down, at least on a deraisa level, fruit-bearing trees. We're going to have to see how far we extend this mitzvah, but at least just baseline psukim, the Torah tells me that I'm not allowed to cut down any fruit-bearing trees. The Rambam cites this mitzvah, and he discusses this mitzvah. By the way, this mitzvah is discussed heavily in what?
Is the mitzvah still applied?
Yeah. Well, we're going to see it right now.
Only applied during the
Baal Tashvis? No, it applies... It applies always. So The Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Tzadi Aleph is the source of the whole discussion about Batashkes, and it's summed up, obviously, quite beautifully in the Rambam, as it always is. The Rambam, after he goes through these halachos, in Halacha Yud, in Perek Vav, in Halacha Yud, he writes, Velo ha'ilanos bolvad. This does not only apply to trees, right? The Torah is telling me it's about trees. We're on page number 2. The Torah tells me that this is about trees. But the Rambam says this is not only about trees. Velo ilanos bolvad. Ela kol hamashamer kelim. Anyone that would destroy vessels. Korea begadim. You rip garments. Vehores binyan. You destroy, you demolish a building. So, right, Sasamayan, you close up a spring. Uma'abed ma'achalos derech hashchasa. And you ruin food to be destructive. Over below tashkas. You violate the prohibition of bal tashkas, of you know, bal tashkas is cutting down the tree, of being wasteful. Says the Rambam, though, Eino loka elamakas mardis medivrayim. However, you would not receive lashes. The only time you would receive lashes, the Rambam writes in Halacha Ches earlier on the page, in Halacha Ches, he writes that you get lashes for cutting down a fruit tree. But you would not get lashes for cutting down, let's say, a regular tree, or tearing clothing, or breaking vessels, or throwing away food to be destructive. Then you would not get lashes on a Del Risa level. Only you would get makas mardis. You get a patch from the rabbis. Now, when the Rambam says eno ella makas mardis medivrehem, so the commentators on the Rambam wonder: is the Rambam suggesting that the prohibition of bal tashkas on a Del Risa level only applies to fruit trees? And then the rabbis instituted that they extended the prohibition to include everything else. Or is the Rambam saying that no, everything else is also d'oraisa? It's just that you're only going to get malchus in the place that the Torah explicitly writes that it's prohibited to do so. Okay, which is a bit odd, because
is there any precedent for that?
Anywhere? Right, that's,
I mean,
so that
if you go over the Lotase, you get makos.
It's right. That should be. It should be that if the Lotase of the law is just extended, so then it should be extended across the board. From the fact that you're not going to get lashes on the Doraisa level, so then it seems to suggest then being wasteful by everything else would be a rabbinic prohibition. However, the Rambam, if you take a look on the next page, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, which is written as the introduction to the Mishneh Torah, where he compiles the list of the 613 commandments. So in Mitzvah Nun Zayin, in the negative commandments, the Rambam writes, entry number 57, Shiziranu Mehashchis Ha'ilanos, on page number 3, that we are commanded, we are warned to not cut down the trees bishanatzar al ha'ir, when you go to capture a city, kedei la'atzar la'ansheh la'chiv libam, in order to make them nervous and scared, right? You start coming in a destructive way. That is a problem if you're going to end up cutting down the fruit trees. Hu amri yisala lo tashchis es etza. V'chein kol hefsed, says the Rambam, that while the Torah says not to cut down a tree, this applies, though, v'chein kol hefsed, any loss that you would do, by meaning ruining anything, nichnas tachas lavzeh, is going to be included in this prohibition. Tachas lavzeh, it's mamish included in this prohibition. Kagom mishi yisrof beged l'reik, someone just burns a garment for no reason. Oh, yishbor kli, they break a vessel. Gamkin over mishum loy tashchis veloke. And you get malchus. Now, when the Rambam says loke over here, I mean, you have to obviously read this with the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, right? That loke over here presumably does not mean Doraisa lashes, because that the Rambam would have been contradicting himself. I think at the very least, though, you can infer from this Rambam that without a doubt, all of the extension of Baal Tashkes, of being destructive beyond fruit trees, is certainly the Oraisa. I mean, at least that is the Rambam's making his opinion very clear about that. That is without question. That being destructive. So let's not use the scenario of Ben and Jerry's, but if I were to just go and walk over to the garbage with this full bowl of chon and just throw it away for no good reason. Aside from the fact that I'd be an apikoros, but I'd violate a d'oraisa according to the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and I'd be liable to get lashes, right? We don't think about it. This is what it would drive my grandmother crazy. Absolutely crazy, being wasteful.
To waste food?
Oh my gosh. She wasn't, but my grandfather was. It would make him even more crazy, but he wouldn't express it the way she would. Any leftover bread, anything, would go to the birds. There was literally nothing that went through their home, and they weren't hoarders, right? But they literally had a perfectly kept home, but nothing went to waste. Yeah, that's the Das Torah over here. All right.
Rabbi?
Yes.
So two things. Didn't Shimshon one time set fire to an entire field for no good reason? Or kind of reason?
Hashem?
Shimshon.
Oh, Shimshon. Shimshon Agibor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the foxes. Wouldn't that be?
Right. So, I mean, all those scenarios, you have to figure out what we're going to have to get more. We're going to have to get deeper into how far do we take this no good reason? Right. That's something we're going to have to discuss more, because, I mean, we do have trash cans. Right. We do throw things away sometimes. So at what point can one throw something away?
Right. Paper plates.
So
I think we haven't explained why here he explicitly says for exactly the same thing for the clothes and the kli. Here he says specifically you get makot, and there he specifically says you don't get makot.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for it. I think that loke in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he means makos mardos, which is not uncommon in the Rambam of the Sefer HaMitzvos to interchange that language. That's what I'm saying. So I think that really Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos is really qualifying what he's writing in.
Well, then you can't
the Mishneh Torah.
If you say that, then you can't make the extension that it's deraita.
No, that's not true. Why because not? He specifically writes when it comes to we'll read that line again. The second line in Mitzvah Nun Zayin, he says, "V'chein kol hafsid nechnas tachas lav zeh." By being destructive, being wasteful by anything is included in this law. Now, you could have suggested just by reading that, oh, but he only means on a rabbinic level. But then he says, kigon, for example, mishasarav begad l'reik, someone destroys a garment, oshishbor kli, they destroy a vessel, gam kain over mishum loy tashkes. The language of over mishum lo tashkes, quoting the pasuk, that is clear that's d'oraisa. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, there are those that assume not that way in the Rambam. This is just me. I'm suggesting that. But there are those that disagree. There are those that it's a little bit unclear. I'm not saying it's so clear in the Rambam. But I think that
I think you're right, because he says veloke. I mean,
but I wouldn't, I'm not focused on veloke, because veloke, the Rambam could mean makas mardus, and that is that's not uncommon in the Mishneh Torah, that he'll use loke to.
You can still get rabbinic
decisions? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was Arisa Rabbana.
No.
There are definitely opinions that wasting money is not the issue, because money doesn't grow on trees, so obviously they...
Nice. Okay. Okay. So now, before we get to... Hold your place over there. Page number up to page number four. Before we get to page number four, there's a bumba vakasha, a very, very strong question on the Rambam. We're gonna get back to page four, but I'm going back to page one. Go back to page one for a second. The Torah tells me again, you're not allowed to be wasteful, right? You're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree. Okay? Now, it is interesting to note the reason why you can't cut down a fruit-bearing tree, because the Torah says, ki mimenu tochal. In that context, it means you're going to be eat it, you're going to need to eat from it while you're in war, right? So from a survival perspective, it would not be a good idea to cut down. Whoa, it's a spicy joint. Wow. Cut down the tree. The Torah, though, let's say all other items. Okay, let's just forget that for a second. Whether it's the Araisa, the Rabbanon, to be wasteful by other things. Let's just put that aside for a second. Nobody disagrees that when it comes to cutting down a fruit tree, that for sure is a violation of the Doraisa. Now, the way the Torah writes it is, if you look again, it says, Rak eitz, in Pasuk Chaf, in the second Pasuk. Rak eitz asher teida, ki lo eitz ma'achalhu. The only tree you're allowed to cut down is a tree that you know for certain is not a fruit-bearing tree. Oso tashkes. That's the type of tree you're allowed to cut down in battle, right? So let's say I'm not sure whether or not it's a fruit-bearing tree. So then I'm not allowed to cut it down. Hold on 1 second.
It says lo eitz ma'achal, not a fruit-bearing tree. So if it's a tree that's still, like if it's a, my understanding is if it's a fruit-bearing tree that no longer bears fruit, you can cut it down.
Correct. That would, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment in the, in fact, the Gemara actually talks about what if, we're going to get to good reasons, you know, let's say a fair enough excuse for or wouldn't be a violation of Baal Tashkes to be quote unquote wasteful, which we'll get to soon. But I think that's a fair point, Gavin. But hold on 1 second. If I'm not sure whether or not it's a fruit-bearing tree, I'm not allowed to cut it down. Because perhaps it might be a fruit-bearing tree.
It's a Safek
D'Oraisa L'Chumra. We're not sure about a D'Oraisa. I'm being Machmer. The Torah is telling me I need to be careful, even in a scenario of doubt. So if you recall, I think we've definitely discussed the whole concept of Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra in the past before. Go to page number 4. The Rambam tells me this concept of Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra, of in scenario where I'm not sure whether or not either, I'm not sure whether or not I fulfilled a D'Oraisa, for example, I'm not sure whether or not I shook Lulav, what I have to do, I need to go and shake Lulav perhaps again because I need to resolve the doubt, okay? Or I'm not sure whether or not this is a violation of a negative commandment, so I need to be careful, I need to refrain from engaging because it might be a negative commandment. For example, I'm not sure whether or not this is a hamburger or just a regular burger. I'm not sure whether or not it's kosher. So in that scenario, I am not allowed to eat it because Safek D'Oraisa, it's a Safek D'Oraisa. And I need to be machmer. The Rambam writes in a couple of different places, in Hilchos Ishos and over here in Hilchos Tumas Meis, that this concept of Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra, of being stringent with regards to the Oraisas, is a rabbinic enactment. The Torah does not command of me, does not require of me to be stringent when it comes to cases of doubt. The Rambam writes explicitly. He writes in Halacha Yud Bez, he writes...
Well, the pasuk we just read seemed to say...
Oh, very good. That's what we're going to be asking. The Rambam writes. He says... Kol HaSvekos. We're from the beginning of Halacha Yud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Aval Kol HaSvekos, when it comes to any doubts, Bein Betumos, Bein B'mal Chaleos Asuros, whether it's regard to a doubts pertaining to Tumah V'Tahara, doubts pertaining to non-kosher food, Bein Arayos V'Shabbosos, whether it's doubts pertaining to inappropriate relationships, Shabbos, whatever it is. Ein lahem, ella midivrei sofrim. Mm-hmm. You only have to be machmer on a rabbinic level. Yeah? So the Rambam is clearly saying that, and he writes, this is a this is the famous opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam writes this over here, writes it in Hilchos Ishas. The Rashba disagrees with the Rambam. The Rashba quotes the Rambam in a couple different places, the Rashba in his response, and the Rashba also in his Chidushim, on Maseches Chidushim on Daf Ayin Beis. The Gemara over there discusses a Mamzer. And the Torah says that Mamzer lo yavol b'kal Hashem, that a Mamzer is not allowed to join the Jewish people. So the Gemara in Kiddushin over there at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, it says, Mamzer vadai, only a Mamzer, you're sure that it's a Mamzer, is not allowed to come to join the Jewish people, meaning you're not allowed to marry them. But Mamzer safek yavo, but a Mamzer that's a doubtful Mamzer, you don't know whether or not they're a Mamzer, so then you would be allowed to marry such a person. So the Rashba says that Gemara is against the Rambam, because that Gemara tells me that the Torah does care about Tzveikos in general. If it didn't care about Tzveikos in general, so then why would the Gemara need to make a drasha to tell me that you are allowed to marry a Mamzer Safek? Of course you're allowed to marry a Mamzer Safek according to the Torah, right? The fact that the Gemara needs to go out of its way to tell me that you are allowed to means that otherwise you would not be allowed to. That's what the Rashba says. Now the Rambam in the Chuvos Rambam in his responsa, he uses the same Gemara as his proof. He says that Gemara is the source.
The fact that the Gemara specifically says that you're allowed to do that
means that is the source. Exactly. That is the source for in general. Right? So they use the same Gemara, but learning in two different ways, come to two different conclusions on this general principled matter with regards to Safek Dareis of the Chomer, whether or not it is a rabbinic law or a Torah law. Now, if that's true, though, that the Rambam is going to use that source of Mamzer, so then he's not going to be able to use this as his source either. Because this, the Torah is telling me that I need to be careful. Right? So now I have a pasuk in the Torah telling me that when it comes to sfeikos, that when it comes to cases of doubt, I need to be stringent. That means the Torah cares about cases of doubt.
Well, maybe they're different, because he doesn't enumerate in this list. He doesn't. I mean, of the things that he's talking about, he specifically enumerates doubts of kosher food and sexual relations and Shabbos.
Yeah, these are simply examples. The reason he chooses those examples is because those are examples of kares, but then he compares and contrasts it where you have kares, but you also have machalias asuros, which is a much more lenient prohibition. This is a principled matter that comes up all over Shas, about Safek Dareis L'Chom and Safek D'Rabban L'Kula, by every single mitzvah. In fact, the Gra, excuse me, Gavin, there's an Aderes Eliyahu on Parshas Shoftim, also in Parshas Shoftim. The Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Shoftim, is talking about Dayanim needing to Rabbeinu Tam, Chazak. Is talking about the Torah in the beginning of Parshas Shoftim is talking about some laws of Dayanus, and it says that what a Dayan is judging a case, bein dam le dam, bein din le din, bein nega le naga. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the way that the Gra understands the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that are three separate areas of halacha that sums up all of Torah. Bein dam le dam means iser veheter, whether or not something is permitted or it is prohibited. That's one area of the Torah. Bein din ledin is talking about civil law, right? Monetary law. And bein nega lenaga is talking about tuma and tara, laws of purity and impurity. The Gra writes that the difference between these three areas, and the reason they're split up in the Chumash, is because these three areas regulate themselves differently when it comes to areas of sveikos. But every single area of halacha has to regulate itself somehow when it comes to a suffix, when it comes to a case of a doubt. With regard to Baal Tashkas, that falls into the case of bein dam ledam, whether it's you're allowed to or you're not allowed to, right? So here, the Rambam says, generally speaking, suffix dareis l'chumra is only a rabbinic law, right? That we're stringent only when it comes to when it comes to Doraisas, that is a rabbinic law. But when it comes to the fruit tree, I'm not sure whether or not it's a fruit tree. I'm not allowed to cut it down. What's the difference?
There's two ways you can see that. Either the fact that the Torah explicitly had to say, if you're in doubt, you can't eat it, that it had to bring that out, because otherwise you wouldn't know that. And I'm not sure.
Say that again?
the fact that the Torah has to specifically say, if you don't know it's a fruit tree, you can't eat it. Then, you chop it down.
Yeah.
Then otherwise you would normally think you could chop it down. So the fact that the rabbi.
No, we already said in the previous passage you're not allowed to chop down fruit trees.
No, but the fact that the Torah had to say that meant that you wouldn't otherwise learn it that way. Like, it's not. It is a rabbinic concept, and the rabbis base it on that. You could learn it that way, no?
But that's what I'm saying. Anyway, so then what are you going to do with Mamzer? I know, so what are you going to do with Mamzer?
Mamzer is like just normal case. You don't have to.
But the Gemara does spell it out.
You can't be a rabbinic Mamzer.
You can't, meaning the Torah wouldn't need to teach the same thing twice. That's what I'm saying. Either the source is Mamzer, or the source was here.
Okay.
But the Rambam doesn't quote this as a source. Okay. So if he's going to choose Mamzer,
then he
means that this one's a kasha.
Okay.
This is a problem.
Can he be a rabbinic Mamzer?
Jacob, sell
topic.
Sell topic.
You could get rabbinic lashes, but if you can't be a rabbinic Mamzer, then...
I hear. Know. Good question. When you go to Torah Shiragi, let me know. Okay? So here we go. The Maram Shik. I love the Maram Shik. He's such a... stands up for his Jewish values. The Maram Shik. His original last... I don't even know what his original last name is. But it wasn't Shik. Shik, he changed it to. The Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. And he was right at the front lines fighting the Enlightenment movement, Maskilim, early stages of the Reform. And... The fad was everyone was changing their last names,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
to be more assimilated. And so he did too. But he changed it to Shik, which is an acronym. Shem Yisrael Kodesh. The name of the Jewish people are holy. So that's so anyone with the last name Shik, that's where it comes from. Yeah.
Amazing.
So the Maram Shik says that perhaps there's a difference between Bal Tashchis and... and other mitzvos. And that there could be mitzvos that are like Bal Tashchis. But Bal Tashchis is different. That the Rambam could still hold of this concept of Savig Darayis L'Chumra of only being a rabbinic law and only being a rabbinic requirement to be stringent in cases of doubt. And the reason, though, we're going to be stringent in the case of doubt by the tree is based on a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Yud. The Gemara in Chulin is discussing... Mayim Megulim. Mayim Megulim are uncovered waters if you leave water uncovered during the night, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to drink that water because there is a... right, the snakes and scorpions, and their venom will be left there, and it could you could be poisoned. So, because they come and drink from the water. So any water that was left uncovered overnight, you have to throw it away. So the Gemara says, across from the arrow, "Vilu safik mayim megulim asurim." The Gemara says that when it comes to safik mayim megulim, I'm not sure whether or not the water was uncovered during the night. I'm not sure whether or not this water is uncovered water. Vilu safik mayim megulim asurim. You're not allowed to drink water if you're doubtful whether or not it's mayim megulim. Okay. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina. We learn from here. Now, this is like comes from the rabbis, right? This concept of uncovered waters and they like this is rabbinic. So then, why is it that you would not be allowed to eat it, drink it? So Shema Mina. We learn from here, Chamira Sakanta Miisura. That there's a difference between mitzvos in the Torah or rabbinic enactments. And making sure to be cautious in life and not doing things that could potentially harm you. If you jump off a bridge, you may or may not die. So who's going to ever think to themselves, oh, you know what? The Torah says, "Ushmartam ol nashoseichem," in this week's parsha, Parshas Veskanan, you have to be very, very careful with your life. But this is a suffix, "Ushmartam ol nashoseichem," and therefore... According to the Rambam, Safek D'Oraisa is only Midirabanan L'Chumra, so then, on a D'Oraisa level, one would be allowed to jump off the cliff. That's idiotic, right? Doesn't make any sense. You can't put yourself into a suffix sakana, right? So says the Maharam Shik, remember the way that the Torah framed the reason why you can't cut down the fruit trees is because
you'd stop.
Ki mimenu tochal, because you are going to have to eat from them. It's a survival mode, right? The Torah's instruction here, it's a mitzvah that has then been codified as a mitzvah. But the way that the Torah frames it is that you can't be wasteful because that's not smart from a survival perspective, right? That God gave us things in the world in order so that we can live our lives, and we need what He provided what we need. And therefore, being wasteful with regards to that may put yourself into a situation of a sakana. So says the Maharam Shik, this pasuk is not against the Rambam. That only if you know for sure that it's a fruit-bearing tree, only if you know for sure it's not a fruit-bearing tree, then you can cut it down. That means that it's a doubt of a d'oraisa, and therefore it's against the Rambam. No, it's not. It's a doubt of one of my tools in my survival kit, of I need to make sure that I have every possible opportunity to be sustained while I'm out in battle. And therefore, I'm not going to cut down a tree on the chance that it is a fruit tree.
So assuming you're sustained in battle, not like assuming I'm going to win and then, you know, a year from now, I'm going to be living in this city and I want to eat food.
I don't know. That's the way the Maharam Shik understands it. Yeah, that's the way the Maharam Shik understands it. Yeah.
I'm just curious. Aren't we permitted to kill bees? That's something that produces for us. That's something that has benefit for us.
So when is one allowed to? What are the exceptions to this mitzvah of Baal Tashkis? So first of all, I just want to point out a Piskei Tshuva. The Nosei Kalim already in. I think it's discussed in Beis Yosef. I forgot to look it up. But with regard to, let's say, tearing kriya. So one is obligated, God forbid, if they lose one of their seven close relatives, to tear kriya. And the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Simen Shin Mem in Yoredeya, discusses exactly the details of how to fulfill this mandate of rendering your garments. So the commentaries on the Gemara and on the and on Shulchan Aruch say, isn't that Baal Tashkis of ruining your garment? No, it's first a very, very specific purpose that it's not destructive, it is constructive, right? Because you want to be able to extend your negative emotions outward toward the garment. It's for a purpose, and therefore one would be allowed to tear kriya. Obviously, to the point that even the rabbis obligate us to tear kriya.
It's like breaking the glass in the wedding.
Oh, so we're going to get to there. Yeah, exactly. Right. So right. We quoted that in Mishnah Berurah. So we're going to see that Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah actually, it didn't dawn on me when we went through that halacha. In Shacharis, but I that Mishnah Berurah is very yesodistic. It gives us a fundamental principle for understanding Baal Tashkis in general. But the Piskei Tshuva, I just want to give an example of how careful we have to be about this halacha of Baal Tashkis, of this mitzvah of Baal Tashkis. Again, it is a suffix d'oraisa. The Piskei Tshuva is discussing, right, the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with the details of how much one is supposed to tear, and then he writes, you look up from the arrow, on page number 6, he writes, "V'kas of Ode, im kara lo chavero." He's quoting here from the Birkei Yosef, that im kara lo chavero, your friend is tearing kri on your behalf. Yoser midai, if he tears more than he's supposed to, chayav, he's liable. Davila Medak, he has to be very careful not to tear too much. And even on your own, you have to be careful not to tear except for what you need to tear. Because if you tear too much, you violate the prohibition of Baal Tashkis. You imagine that? Right? You need
once
to be so
there, it's useless anyway.
It depends. It depends on the what you are tearing, or what relative you're tearing for. For a parent, you're not allowed to sew it up again. It's on the left side, and it's achi galas libo. You're not allowed to re-sew it. Same thing when you're tearing for Churban Yerushalayim. But on Shar Krovim, all the other relatives, it's on the right side, and you can fix that, right? So it's not going to ruin the garment.
So would you be able to use a shirt that is re-sewable?
That
the most clothes.
Yeah, that's the Gemara discusses that. Yeah,
but you should use a shirt that is actually repairable.
There were people that had Kriya shirts that they would just keep tearing them, and then it was like shmatas. Yeah. Okay. So now, I just want to use that as an example of how careful we have to be about Baal Tashchis. Now, with regards to exceptions to Baal Tashchis, so the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Aleph discusses the following: what if the value of the wood is more than the fruit of the tree? So, and you let's say own one of those trees, so you want to be able to chop it down in order so you can use the wood. The Gemara says that that's okay because that is. You're doing that purpose. You're doing that in a. It's constructive. It is something that is. You're being mindful of what you're doing. You're not just trying to be destructive for the sake of being destructive. And in fact, this is reflected in the Mishnah Berurah that Adam pointed out before. The Ramah is discussing the Minhagim that we have Zecher Le Churban in commemoration of the destruction of the Temple. The Ramah writes. Yesh Mekomos, on page number 7, Yesh Mekomos, Shenagu Lishbor Kos Bishas Chupa, that there are places that have the custom of breaking the glass under the Chupa. And the Shulchan Aruch says in the next line, V'chol Elu Advarim Kedei Lizkor Es Yerushalayim. All this is in order to remember Yerushalayim, Shenamar, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, as written, that we cannot forget Yerushalayim. Im lo ele es Yerushalayim al rosh simchasi. We have to put Yerushalayim at the forefront of our simchas. So the Mishnah Berurah commentating on this Ramah, on the same from the Ramah, this concept of this minog of breaking the glass at the chuppah. So the Mishnah Berurah writes. He says. First, we'll see Sifkat and Tess over here by the second arrow on the page. Vizohi Gamkein Hatam Shelo Shviras Kli Bishas Shel Shviras Kli Bishas Ksivas Hatanaim. This is the same reason why we break a plate during the signing of the Tanaim. Again, it's for remembering Yerushalayim. V'yiroi Lishbor Tachas HaChupa Ko Shalim. It's good to break an entire glass. Under the chuppah, an entire cup. The ein bo mishum baal tashchis. And this is not a violation of baal tashchis. Why? Kivan she'osin kein l'remez musar l'man yitnu lev. That because, again, it's constructive. It's for a purpose. So, because it's supposed to be musar, it's supposed to put onto your heart, Yerushalayim. So again, it is the basic principle... Right. So you just have to be mindful of why you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing it for a purpose, that's not called being wasteful. That if you're not, if you're doing it for a purpose, that's not called being wasteful. So, it becomes very subjective then. Getting back to Ben and Jerry's, right? Getting back to
you need halacha l'maaseh. This is a specific purpose. I mean, this was a. Purpose to remember
right.
Yerushalayim, remember not just Yerushalayim. Any purpose.
Exactly, right. I mean, no, you're right. It needs to be something. It needs to be something meaningful. It needs to be something that is, not just any stom reason that
Right. You're going to build a house, or you're going to.
Right.
Rabbi, before you get to Ben and Jerry's, are you allowed to cut down a tree that's not so productive in order to plant one that you think will be more productive?
Once the tree.
I'm not saying not productive at all. I'm saying not very productive. So you have a tree that's it's just doesn't seem healthy. It's not making as much food as usual.
Right, so it's if it's run its course, and then you're going to end up getting more fruit by planting a better tree, so then that would make sense. That would fit into the framework, I think. So getting back to Ben & Jerry's, so you have Ben & Jerry's already sitting in your freezer. You want to now take the Ben & Jerry's and throw it away. You see people doing that. Is that okay? So, you know, I don't know. It's very hard to rationalize that you should dump all the... It's not gonna help any more than, you know, the counter boycott is going to help.
Meaning, you already paid for it.
You already bought it. It's done.
Unless you can make a statement by doing
that. So that's what someone said that to me. Someone said, why don't you set up... You said that? You said, why don't you set up a table... Joe said, set up a table outside of Ralph's.
Right.
Tell everybody, bring all your ice cream, all your Ben & Jerry's. We'll set up a table half off.
Make some money.
That's fundraiser. Right.
Would you post it to them the same way if you didn't have Ben & Jerry's in your freezer, Ralph?
I'm no gay, but whatever.
Does
Jason
time come under the
issue? I actually did not see that. I don't know.
Scorched earth for like a tactical.
Because I know Marcos in my house for wasting time.
That could never happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rabbi, scorched earth for a tactical retreat. Are you allowed to like burn down your food supplies so your enemy can't like use it when like retreating from your city? Or?
They did that in Jerusalem.
They also did that in Russia.
Yeah.
Does this factor into the issue of taking away the kashrut and Ben & Jerry's at all?
They were talking about it a lot. I have a close friend of mine that works in the Cuff K. I was talking with him. When the news came out, I right away sent him a text saying, "My heart's out to you. I'm sure that things are complicated for you right now." But it's hard to rationalize. I don't know. I could hear both sides. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between not buying it mm-hmm. and breaching a contract that could put people's parnassa at you know on the line, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have the Ben & Jerry's can end up suing the Chaf Keh for breaching their contract. Then what?
In their factory, they're doing nothing trade.
Exactly. Right? You know what I mean? Right.
So from their perspective, they're like...
Exactly. So, yeah. It's... but I know they're consulting Gedolim and Poskim about it. But, yeah. So anyway, that's... I don't know. It's very hard to... Again, but it's we have like to be so careful with Baal Tashkis.
It's
like
a hecture on marijuana or like... Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, with regards to boycotts, I mean, that's what it's we mentioned... Ish.
Yeah.
That's what we mentioned before of Menachem Begin. I mean, Menachem Begin, basically, that was his
But that also affects
his main point. Was,
you were using that argument earlier as far as...
Kashrut. Right, yeah. I mean, but Menachem Begin's point, again, he said with regards to the German reparations, he said that we, our Jews, are obligated in... you have to eradicate Amalek, now you want to go and do business with them, right? And his point was 100%. I think he was, you know, that point makes a lot of sense in that particular context, right? Where you're basically saying that you're literally doing business with Nazis. I don't know if you could apply the exact same logic to this scenario. I don't know, meaning, I don't think that Ben or Jerry want... Right. I don't think Ben and Jerry's are interested in a genocide of the Jewish people and looking to eradicate all of Jewish population from the world. I think that their behavior...
Unintentional.
They might not realize that. Or maybe it is intentional with regard to anti-Zionism, which of course we know is just modern-day anti-Semitism. And they might not realize the extent of what that kind of a cultural marker makes on it. But I don't know. It's hard to say that Ben & Jerry's has a status... of Amalek, like a halachic status of Amalek. I don't know.
The factory is.
I don't know. I'm Basiel Laorer. I don't know.
The weird part, the factory is in Israel.
Yeah, it is.
No, I'm saying it's not in Shabbat.
But the factory,
right? So they're saying just don't sell there.
So they're in Israel and they're investing in Israel. They're like, we're going to produce in Israel, just don't sell there.
Yeah.
But it's a very complicated.
The guy who owns the factory in Israel is like